I regret I have but one life to give for my country. Welcome back to the American Revolution Podcast. This is the special bonus episode, as promised, about Nathan Hale. So I'm at work, I have a little time to kill, and I thought I would do an episode that I had promised you guys, talking about Nathan Hale. Now, before I start this episode where we start getting into Nathan Hale the person and his time as a spy, I want everyone to know that he is a legend of the American Revolution. And like all legends, everyone has a story about him, but unfortunately, not all of them are true. So I found the sources that I could trust and the information that is most logical, and I came up with the most logical conclusions. Now, of course, I'm going to tell you guys about the legends, of course, because those are always so entertaining, but I want everyone to know that I'm giving you the best facts and the most logical facts that I possibly can. And it's not that I don't know the answers or I just, you know, am making this stuff up. It's just the historical record doesn't reflect a hard, cold-cut version of Nathan Hale's time as a spy or the events that led up to his capture. So that's the only thing I want to kind of lead off with before we get started. What we do know about Nathan Hale, though, is that he is born on June 6th, 1755, in Coventry, Connecticut. He is the second son of Richard and Elizabeth Hale. His family is of good Puritan stock, so young Nathan was raised with a strong work ethic, dedication to his religion, and he understood the value of a good education. So it's no surprise that when he's 14, he is sent to Yale. There, he will study literature and debate. He actually excelled at the subjects. When he's 18, he graduates with honors and became a school teacher in New London, Connecticut. Now, during those college years, it's highly doubtful that he had any involvement in any kind of political disputes or any kind of protesting outside of local protests, maybe burning someone in effigy, something like that. There's no record to say that, oh, Nathan Hale was here for, you know, the burning of, you know, a governor's mansion or something like that. No, there's none of that. He was pretty much in college student, maybe protested a little bit here and there, but outside of that, until April 19th, 1775, we know that he has little involvement in any pre-war struggle, political struggle, that is, dealing with patriot beliefs versus British beliefs. But on April 19th, 1775, the morning of Lexington and Concord, Nathan Hale himself was not involved, but five of his brothers marched off to fight the British as they retreated from Concord back to Boston. Nathan Hale himself wants to answer the call, of course, and joins the state militia. The state militia will, of course, march off to Boston to lay siege to the city with militias from other New England towns and New England colonies. Now, during the siege of Boston, once again, historical record does not reflect, but there are some primary sources that say that his units may or may not have been involved in some of the light skirmishes or small disputes over supplies or British attempts to probe the American siege lines. So he could have been involved in some fighting there. The record does, however, state that in January of 1776, Nathan Hale was commissioned a captain in the Continental Army. After the Battle of Brooklyn, Washington was looking for volunteers. He knows nothing of what is in front of him, around him, behind him, anything. He is right now stuck on Manhattan Island. He needs to know what the British are planning, where they're going next. So he wants someone to volunteer to spy. Find out positions, troop numbers, rumors of possible attack points. Hale gladly accepts the assignment. It's a risk. Spies are not looked on as being gentlemen. It's not a gentlemanly position to take in a battle, in a war. To spy is to be sneaky and, you know, deceptive. Those are not qualities of a good gentleman during the Victorian era. So for one part, he is not going to be looked upon by his peers or his enemy as a man of virtue. But Hale is. We all know that. He also understands the risk. If he's caught, he will be put to death immediately. So why take this assignment? Well, like I had said, Hale is a man of honor. Also, it could be the fact that he hadn't seen any real action yet, and this really gives him an opportunity to really get into the thick of the fighting, maybe without not using a gun, but he's really in the middle of a war now, spying, sneaking around, looking for information to help Washington and his army. So that's one theory as to why he takes this assignment. Hale leaves Harlem Heights on September 12th. He heads for Norfolk, Connecticut. From there, he secures passage across the Long Island Sound to the town of Huntington. His cover was that he was a Dutch schoolteacher that was traveling looking for work. His mission was to find out as much information about the British as he could. He wanted to return to American lines with as much information on their troop numbers, where their possible attacks can be, and positions that they had outside of what Washington already knew, which was Brooklyn and Staten Island. Hale is only embedded on Long Island for about 3 days, and then the Battle of Harlem Heights happens. And so he takes it upon himself that he's going to move to Manhattan. He thinks that he could get better information in the city. And, you know, it's a plausible move. It makes sense. But it's really going to be the decision that is his downfall. This is where legend begins to shadow true fact. There are three possible stories to the capture of Nathan Hale. The first is that his cousin, Samuel Hale, recognized him and turned him over to the authorities. It's possible. His cousin was a loyalist and was working for the British, and he knew that Nathan was a captain in the Continental Army. So it is possible that he said, wait, you're in the city, you must be a spy. I'm 50-50 on it. I'm really just unsure about it. The next one is the more ridiculous of the stories, is that Robert Rogers, yes, that Robert Rogers, is in the city, finds out that Hale was spying, not letting on that he knew what Hale's secret was, struck up a conversation with him. He let on that he was a Patriot sympathizer, and Hale was looking for an ally in the city, so he tells Rogers that he's scouting British positions for the Continental Army. Well, Rogers says, I'll gladly help you. Let's meet with some of my friends. He invites Hale to dinner, and these quote-unquote friends show up, and the British soldiers arrest him and take him off to prison. The last theory is that Hale was captured on the Long Island Sound trying to sail back to Patriot-held Connecticut. This is the most likely scenario. He's on a boat. He's trying to cross what are now British-held waters, heading for the Patriot positions on Connecticut. When they capture him, they find maps, positions, drawings, troop numbers written down, all kinds of intel. It's kind of open and shut. He's a spy. Take him off to headquarters. There is also a running theory. Now, this one doesn't have anything to do with his capture, but he, when he arrives in New York, is brought in for questioning on the possibility that he was involved in setting the Great New York Fire. I highly doubt that that was the case, because I think the way the timing works out, I believe he, like, at least judging by normal transportation times and where he had to go in New York from Huntington to Manhattan, my belief is that he would have arrived around the day of the fire being set. Or he would have arrived the day after the fire was set and just kind of got, you know, lumped in with all the others. The reason being, if he arrived the day, you know, the fire was set at night, so that if he arrived that day, he wouldn't have had time to plan out, sabotage stuff, get stuff organized to set the fire. So the legend of Nathan Hale starting the New York fire is just that. It's a legend. There is really no proof at all to back that up. And if you look at the times of when he's in Huntington compared to when the fire starts, the timing of when he leaves Huntington just doesn't add up. So I'm kind of just throw that one out the window. But I thought it was funny that he got brought up and said, hey, you may have started the New York fire. But I digress. Nathan Hale was captured on the night of September 21st. Of course, being accused of as a spy, he is ushered quickly to the British headquarters, where he is interrogated by General William Howe. Nathan Hale, of course, will offer his name, his rank, and a reason as to why he's in the city. But the maps, the drawings, list of troop numbers, fortifications, all this information is enough to implicate him as a spy. And it's enough evidence that William Howe can offer an execution order. The order will be carried out the following morning on September 22nd. The execution of Nathan Hale is something else that is a bit legendary. There are many first-hand accounts. A lot of people that were there wrote about what they saw. And what they saw was a man that really had his composure about him. I mean, he was captured the night before and is told that you're going to die the next morning. It's really humbling to see that this man had such bravery that he simply accepts his fate for what it is. Of these sources, they all agree that this was a man of composure and resolve. And there are varying accounts, but it is agreed that he made a sensible and spirited speech, which legend dictates the phrase, "I regret to have but one life to give for my country," is put in there somewhere. The after of the execution is a little less legendary, and it really plays to the time itself. After Hale's execution, his body is left hanging for several days, kind of a marker for those that would dare spy on the British. This is a spy's fate. But after a few days, friends of his will get permission to take down his body, and he will unfortunately be buried in an unmarked grave. He is 21 years old. Let's face it, folks. Nathan Hale was a terrible spy. And that's, you know, really obvious. But he was a brave young man. And that when given the opportunity, he laid his life down for the cause of independence. After his death, his friends and the American public were in dire need of a hero. They created this legend that we know today. There are many statues and memorials that have been dedicated to the bravery and the legend of Nathan Hale. But in my opinion, the highest honor that could ever be bestowed upon this young patriot is being named Connecticut's state hero in 1985. To be named the hero of an entire state is definitely saying something. That is the life of Nathan Hale. And there will be future episodes where we are going to talk a little bit about Washington spies. Unfortunately, it's not as glamorous as the Four Seasons that they put on the AMC, the TV show Turn. But this is kind of like a little look into Washington wanting to use people to spy on the British to kind of give him the upper hand. He's fighting a tough battle, and though he's not going to always win in the field, he could win the intelligence game. And that's something that he's really going to work hard to do. So that's going to do it for this episode. I want to thank everyone who put out their 5-star reviews. This was really an episode for you guys as a thank you. I didn't realize it until after last week's episode that someone did put a 5-star review on iTunes. Guys, if you are out there and you have the ability to go into iTunes and do it, please, please do it. I really want to do more of these bonus episodes. And I don't want to make it seem like I'm holding episodes hostage, because I wanted to talk about all this stuff. Luckily, the Hale episode, we're still in New York, and we really haven't taken away from the momentum of continuing the campaign. But I do want to keep doing more of these episodes. I kind of gave the artillery one was a freebie. This one, you know, I needed some five-star reviews. The next one I'm planning is possibly on the Germans, talking about the structure of the German Hessians. Why are they called Hessians? What their legend, because Hessian soldiers were even built into legend, what they were all about. And so that's what I'm planning as the next bonus episode. But once again, I need more of those five-star reviews. I need people to just connect with me on Facebook and say, hey, I've been recommending this to friends. Do whatever you can. There are only two American Revolution podcasts out there. The gentleman who is doing another podcast on the American Revolution has got a little bit more traction, and that's my fault. I have been around longer, but I have not been – I was not as dedicated early on. I had a lot of I was moving about a lot, and so I've really been trying hard to make sure that I'm posting every week. And though it's infrequent, I'm generally trying to be within the first 3 days of the week between Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, trying to get them in there. This way you guys have those episodes because those are generally my nights off. And so that's what I'm planning. I'm hoping that I can get the next episode in our campaign episode. I think we're up to episode 50 now. I think we're at the magic number of 50. If not, it's episode 49. That will be coming out hopefully tomorrow. If not, it'll be out Wednesday. But like I said, just everyone, thank you so much for the support, the five-star reviews, the kind words that you guys send to me, whether it be on iTunes or on the Facebook page. So cheers to all of you. And I will be hopefully having another episode out tomorrow. So everyone have a great night, and we'll continue our story of New York tomorrow.